This is Larry Glover Live, your chance to talk about the cats with the Commonwealth. Lines are open. In Lexington, dial 253-5959. Toll-free statewide, 1-877-777-0590. Plus, you can also reach Larry via email at LarryGloverLive@gmail.com.
Welcome back to our program here on Larry Glover Live. Schwarber, the Chicago Cubs just hit one, I swear to you. I think it might have been Lake Michigan. I mean, think of these home runs by the Cubs are just majestic home runs, too. We're not talking about, you know, line drives that just squirrel over the wall down the corner and just hook it inside the foul pole. We're talking about majestic home runs. It's like the 1989 Oakland A's, like the Bash Brothers, Canseco and McGuire, or maybe, you know, the Brewers back in the 80s, Harvey's Wallbangers. Just unbelievable power they're exhibiting in this series. I mean, they're just overpowering St. Louis. Well, how much fun would be, and again, I fully admit I can't stand the Cubs. But looking at the series objectively, how much fun would the Jays and the Cubs be? You might have, except when Arrieta and Price pitch, you might have, you know, 15 to 12 games with 11 home runs combined. Unbelievable. 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. Tonight's program brought to you by Jack Kane Ford, offering great quality cars at great prices. If you've not been to Jack Kane Ford and you're looking for a car, do yourself a favor. Is that another one? Holy smoke. Is that Rizzo? Another towering fly ball that went foul down the right field line. It's like everybody's on the edge of the seat in Chicago. If you've never been to Jack Kane Ford and you're looking for a car, do yourself a favor. Go there once. If you're looking for a car, at least go there once and see what they have to offer and the kind of deals they can offer you at Jack Kane Ford. You will be glad you did. They've got great deals on new Ford vehicles, also some pre-owned Ford vehicles and other models as well, other makes and models as well. Just check out their entire fleet online, new and used as well, at KaneFord.com, and you will be glad that you did. Great customer service, great folks at Jack Kane Ford. You're dealing with first-rate individuals that will do you right at Jack Kane Ford. Again, located at a corner, in Versailles, 5 minutes from New Circle Road. You can also find them on the web at KaneFord.com. Jeff Drummond joining us on the program. Jeff, first of all, I got to ask you a couple questions real quick. USA Today, in the movie Back to the Future, back in 1985, said the Cubs win it in 2015. Sweep the series. It would be ironic, but I'll tell you what, they look as good as anybody right now. They really do.
Well, with the young hitters that they have, and you got Arrieta as kind of the anchor of that staff, they really do. I mean, I'm looking around right now thinking I'm going to have to clean up glass from Kyle Schwarber breaking a window with that shot.
Oh, man.
I don't think that ball is yet to come down. Wherever
scary,
he knocked
Jeff.
That to, but it's just really impressive. The first time in my life, as a diehard Reds fan, I can say I'm actually envious of the Chicago Cubs because they've loaded up with some great young talent and a fantastic manager.
And they've got the wallet to keep those guys around for 10, 12 years.
Probably so. That's going to be the next big test for them. You know, is how they can keep it together, but you've got to figure they have a three to four year window probably.
Yeah.
Don't know the exact arbitration situation with all those guys. Probably have a good three year window to make something special happen. Similar to what the Reds
4 years with them.
And the Reds blew it.
I think the Cubs would have them. I think the Cubs controlled their option. I would think through the year 2018. 15, 16, 17, 18. I think they probably would have arbitration after the 2017 season and then have the ability to go free agent after 2018. So, but they've got the wallet to sign them to long-term deals, which I'm sure if they're playing at the kind of level of play you would expect them to be playing at by then, I'm sure they will lock them up before they ever get to arbitration and do what the Reds and Walt Jocketty tried to do with the Reds' young players like Votto and Bruce and Homer and Brandon. It just, unfortunately, it looks like the Reds chose poorly, and the Cubs, I think young players are really better than what the Reds had.
They might be. I think it kind of looks that way at this stage, but you know how that goes sometimes. things can change in a short period of time. But I trade situations with them right now in a heartbeat.
They've already done better than the Reds ever did.
even the Cardinals, you know, with everything they've been through this season, it's a wonder that they are where they are. With the injuries they had, they won 100 games. They had, you know, half a dozen major players go down with one thing or another during the course of the season, and they just keep calling these guys out of nowhere. I mean, I said earlier, it's not Tony. They had somebody named Tony Cruz. Who, outside of the radio host, he used to be around these parts. I have never heard of Tony Cruz in my life, and that's what they do. They get into the playoffs, and they need a two-out base hit, and they have guys you've never heard of in your life lace doubles down the line. Piscotty, Pham, Cruz.
Who are these people?
And the Reds can't get one guy with a solid bat out of their whole minor league system for 2 years.
Jeff, if the Cardinals had the Cubs roster, I would say, folks, shut it down for the next 6 to 8 years. Because they're going to win it five times. It's going to be Yankees-esque. I mean, the Cubs have got an enormous – I mean, their roster is so good, and they're all under the age of 25, it seems. I mean, it's not quite the case, but it sort of seems like that. I don't want to use all the time talking about the Cubs. Real quick thought about the Steelers. I mean, do the Steelers play on Sunday? My God, they're starting to look like the Louisville Cardinals who never play on Saturday. I mean, they play on Tuesdays and Mondays and Thursdays.
But hey, when you're in high demand, that's how it goes.
Well, that's true, though. They've only played two Thursday night games.
They tested my heart meds last night. Pretty gutsy call there. How many times have you ever seen a coach, you know, in major NFL or major college football have the ball there with a chance to tie with 5 seconds left and say, no, we're going to try to punch it and win this game?
Yeah, I applaud it. I really do. Jeff, Steve Spurrier stepped down late last night after we went off the air. It was official today. It seems like everybody's throwing hosannas at Spurrier about what a great coach he was, how he changed the game. I guess all that's is somewhat true. I've yet to see anybody say, why is he bailing on his team in the middle of the season? That's not fair.
That doesn't seem right. I hate to cast too much judgment on it without knowing all the circumstances. You know, we really don't know exactly what's going on with all that, but I don't like the idea in general of giving up on your team in the middle of the season.
Jeff, you've got people speculating that Mark Stoops would be a candidate for the South Carolina job. I think you could argue. I think it's a fair argument to say that South Carolina is probably a better job than Kentucky. I don't think it's significantly better than Kentucky. I mean, if you look before Spurrier got to South Carolina, the history of these two programs was not significantly different. In fact, Tommy, who just emailed me a stat to help me with my defense, argued that South Carolina's bowl record is actually worse than Kentucky's, if you can believe that. Kentucky's bowl record is 8-7. South Carolina's 8-12. They've been to more bowls. They've not won any. Kentucky's won just as many bowl games as South Carolina has. I think you can make a strong argument that South Carolina's really not that much better of a job.
Yeah, that was my immediate response to it. I think that's coming from somebody probably from outside the area who views Kentucky as, you know, a have-not and South Carolina as a have. But if you look at what's going on right now, facilities-wise, pay-wise, fan support-wise, Kentucky's right there on par with everything South Carolina can offer. And I would argue once they get this new practice facility in, Kentucky's going to be ahead of South Carolina. And they've already surpassed South Carolina on the field the last 2 years. So it's hard to make that argument with anything except the fact that South Carolina has a really strong in-state talent base. But like I told you yesterday, they've got to fight with Georgia and Tennessee and Clemson and any number of other schools to get any of that talent, where Stoops here in Kentucky, he's pretty much naming whoever he wants to come here, and they're signing with the Cats. You know, Damian Harris is one of the lone exceptions.
Jeff, I was talking with Gabe before, and he was making the case that Kentucky's in a better recruiting position in South Carolina. I would argue that's probably not the case. Gabe's assertion was that Kentucky's got Ohio, and Stoops, you know, going to have his way with Ohio. But people forget, you know, South Carolina borders with Georgia and Florida. And I think that those two states combined give you much more possibilities than Ohio does. You're dealing with a lot of teams, too. But, you know, you got Michigan and Penn State and Pittsburgh that all rely on Ohio, as does West Virginia to a certain degree, Kentucky, Notre Dame shops in Ohio a little bit. You know, there's a lot of big-time programs that recruit Ohio as well. So I would actually argue that there's probably more opportunity to recruit at a high level, maybe at South Carolina, than it is in Kentucky. The only thing you might argue is that Southern Ohio is more claimable, if that's even a word, for Kentucky than maybe any geographic region for South Carolina. But I think in terms of overall talent in the area, I think there's probably more South than North.
There's a couple of points to be made with that. Kentucky has thrived in Ohio, not so much based on geography, but on the relationships. Stoops and Vince Merrill being from Youngstown and having all those connections. So you take that out of the equation. They do not have long connections, you know, in the South. Even though Kentucky's doing some good recruiting in parts of the South too, and some of these other systems are kind of getting the job done with that. So you've got that in play, and Kentucky's actually faring as well or better in Northern Ohio as they are in Southern. You would think it would be the other way around. A lot of the elite guys in Southern Ohio, it's a weird situation. They lean a little bit more towards Notre Dame and Michigan than they do to Kentucky.
Indeed. Jeff, got Auburn coming up on Thursday night as we get closer and closer. I don't know that we'll get you on Thursday, so tomorrow night will be the night we ask you for your actual prediction. But as you get closer and closer to this game, I do expect Auburn to play really well, but I also think Kentucky will come ready to play also. I think it'll be played at a pretty high level. I also think that it'll be a high-scoring game. I know looking at some of the predictions, 27-24, 28-24, 31-17. I think it'll be higher scoring than that.
It could be. I tend to agree that it's going to be a fairly, at least a medium range, you know, in the 20s, maybe upper 20s type deal. But everything I gather in talking to our guys from down around the Auburn program, their backs are to the wall, and they're treating this as kind of a caged animal type situation. They're going to be fighting for their lives on Thursday as far as their season goes and a lot of their goals. So that's something that Kentucky has to be prepared to meet, that kind of intensity. And the crowd has to be ready to get behind the team, because they're going to be up against a team that's kind of in do or die mode.
Jeff, give me a player on Kentucky's offense and defense. I mean, is it too obvious to say that the player most important for Kentucky offensively is Tolles, or is it the offensive line? Give me an idea, or maybe Boone Williams. Give me an idea of who you think the Kentucky success offensively really rests on.
Well, the O-line as a unit, if I could choose them, is like one, because they kind of have to function as such. They have to play much better.
Did we lose Jeff?
Hello?
All right, we'll take a break. All right, I think we lost Jeff. This is Larry. I want to take a moment to tell you about my friends over at Sutton's Restaurant. Now, they've been my favorite place to get a bite for a while now because they offer the best food around. Everything is made from scratch right there in the kitchen at Sutton's. It's not pre-made, shipped in, and then warmed up like a lot of places. My favorite is the ravioli, and it's now on the menu full-time, along with some other great dishes like the fish and chips, the mahi-mahi grilled or blackened, the garlic cheese parmesan cheese fries, four new burgers, and the sriracha shrimp pizza, which my wife really likes. Now, Sutton's also has music on the patio Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays, weather permitting, of course, so you can make a night of it at Sutton's. They're located on the corner of Richmond Road and Manowar Boulevard, and if you've never been to Sutton's, do yourself a favor and just go once. I promise you, you'll go back again, because the food is just that good. Check out Sutton's Restaurant.
If you see it on the field, if you see it on the porch, When you're stepping off sports, you'll know you're supposed to not just put on, but rather sport your clothes. It's the hookup. Look up all around you and see all S, all P, all O, R, T, S.
You see it on the field, if you see it on the court.
All Sports in Fayette Mall next to Macy's.
Hi, folks. This is Larry. My friends at Redmond's Garden Center are gearing up for the fall, and that's the best time to add scenery around your home. Redmond's has the best selection of container trees and shrubs, and as always, Redmond's offers the highest quality. They're also offering 20% off all flowering and shade trees right now, as well as all tree form hollies, including Castle Spire, Centennial Girl, Christmas Jewel, Dragon Lady Foster, and Nellie Stevens. And if you need a little help with your curbside appeal, well, Redmond's can help you there, too, with their full landscape division. They've also got a full line of mums, pansies, fodder shocks, pumpkins, gourds, and Indian corn that will perfectly accent all the beautiful colors in your landscape. Redmond's gift shop has tons of great gift ideas like wind chimes, pots, and fountains. If you like making your home look its best like I do, then go to Redmond's Garden Center located at 4432 Old Nicholasville Road or find them on the web at redmondsgarden.com.
News Talk 590 WVLK.
Every morning, that dirty, yucky, gunky, grimy mess swims slowly around your washbowl while your stopped-up drain bubbles like a witch's brew.
A stopped-up drain is annoying, but don't let it become an overflow emergency. Don Howard Plumbing's 24-7 service means you can call Don Howard any hour with no overtime. And right now, Don Howard is offering a $99 special cleaning for any drain line. When you make a call, they make a difference. Call Don Howard any hour at 559-0625. 559-0625. You'll get a real person.
Auto Plaza USA is Central Kentucky's pre-owned headquarters. The choice is yours because Auto Plaza USA has over 500 cars, trucks, and SUVs to choose from. Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Mercedes, and more. You'll get the vehicle you want at the best price. Plus, Auto Plaza USA wants your trade. That's cash in your pocket. Auto Plaza USA, Kentucky's dealer-rated winner for the past 3 years. Auto Plaza USA, the lowest price, great service, and the best selection. Auto Plaza USA, just 3.5 miles past Men of War on Nicholasville Road.
Following is an advertisement. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan, and I'd like to tell you some things about my firm. I began this firm in 1988, and there were only five of us. Today, we have close to 120 attorneys and almost 800 capable staff members. Our mission in the beginning is the same as it is today, and that is to provide full-service legal help to those who need it in their most desperate hour. And those services are many. Social Security disability, workers' compensation, personal injury and auto accidents, medical malpractice, wage and hour disputes, and nursing home abuse. What we hope to do for all of our clients is to attempt to level the playing field with powers that hope to deny them justice and with corporate bullies and insurance companies who put profit over people. If you have questions about your case, visit forthepeople.com and have an online chat or call Morgan & Morgan at 1-800-MORGAN-LAW. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
You're listening to Larry Glover Live right here on Sports Central 590 WVLK.
All right, so welcome back to our program here on Larry Glover Live. We've got lines open, 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. Chicago leading St. Louis 6-4, top of the 8th, one out, nobody aboard for the Cardinals. Good article on CBSSports.com written by John Solomon on Steve Spurrier. It says, so long to Steve Spurrier, a legend, an innovator, and a quitter. Says, Steve Spurrier is blunt. He always calls it like he sees it. So just because he's a legend, let's not spin his departure while celebrating his remarkable career. He's an innovator. He's the second most influential coach in SEC history behind Bear Bryant. He's a winner with unprecedented success at Duke, Florida, South Carolina. He's a character who immensely helped make college football America's second most popular sport. There's also this. He's a proud man who deeply hates losing, so barring any other information we do not know yet, he quit on his team in the end. They may not be exactly the way Spurrier wants to describe it, but it's hard to label his sad ending any other way. Replace the name Steve Spurrier with almost any other coach who leads a program halfway through the year, and that person would get crushed by the public. Spurrier's enjoyed considerable goodwill from the media. Imagine the backlash if a player... It's almost like he listened to our show. If a player on a 2-14 publicly said he's out of there, finish what you start is preached in sports at all ages. It's certainly Spurrier's right to leave whenever he wants to go play golf. South Carolina President Harris Pastides tried to talk Spurrier into announcing his retirement and finishing the year, but Spurrier wasn't interested. If that doesn't work, it doesn't work a lot, because if the players know you're not going to be their coach after such and such time, you just don't have the accountability, I don't think, Spurrier said. Also, it allows a chance for an interim coach, Sean Elliott, to make his mark for these next six games. I think the team needs to hear a new message, a new voice from another coach. In hindsight, it's clear Spurrier could have resigned after South Carolina's 7-6 season in 2004. Given that he left halfway through the season, Spurrier says he doesn't regret leaving at that time because we've got re-energized when we won that bowl game. I think that nails it. I mean, I think he's a legend, a quitter. From John Solomon. Also, by the way, I told Gabe that we would go through the tiebreakers if there's a three-way tie. Here's what the three-way tie. It's combined head-to-head record among tied teams. So let's say Georgia beats Florida, Kentucky beats Georgia, and they would all somehow miraculously end up in a three-way tie. It would be combined head-to-head record among tied teams. And if that were the case, each would have beaten the other in sort of a circular fashion. The next one is record of teams tied within the division. So whichever team of the three had the best record against Eastern Division opponents would be the winner. If that were the same, then you would move on to overall conference record against non-divisional teams, which means you would look at the Western Division. What's your record against Western Division teams? Then it would be a combined record against all common non-divisional teams. The next one, which would be sixth, record against common non-divisional teams with best overall conference record and proceeding through the other common non-divisional. It gets crazy. But again, we go back to, if Kentucky had beaten Florida, man, would they be in good shape. Because you'd be a game up on Florida, but you'd be effectively up two games on Florida, and they still have LSU and Georgia. So basically, if Kentucky had beaten Florida, and Florida would have to beat LSU or Georgia to beat Kentucky out with two losses. If Florida lost to Kentucky and then lost to LSU and Georgia, Kentucky would have to go 4-4 in conference play for Florida to finish ahead of them. And keep in mind, Kentucky had a shot there. They had a shot to win that game. The one touchdown that Florida did get was Will Greer slipping into the end zone in the corner before Josh Force hit him. Even their touchdown wasn't easy. You got Georgia with a couple of losses already. Missouri has two losses, and you own the tiebreaker. So basically, you have a two-game lead on Missouri. Tennessee's got, two or three losses? Two, I guess. They're 2-2. But to win the division, you have to beat Tennessee. Let's put it this way. If Kentucky beat Florida, Kentucky would control their own destiny. Remarkable. 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll visit with Allie Davison of Auburn Rivals to talk about Auburn, Kentucky's opponent on Thursday night. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
We don't cater to the common. We don't run on a beaten path. In proudly unconventional since 1926, our history is inspiration for the future. For those that share our independent pioneering spirit and are discontent with the common can, we raise an Ale 8, the drink for those who find their own flavor. Prove how great different can be. Open one yourself.
Sky will be clearing out during the evening. Temperatures getting pretty chilly pretty quickly. We're looking at temperatures during the evening falling into the 50s and overnight low in the low 40s. Your day tomorrow, good looking day. Lots of sunshine. High temperatures in the mid 60s. for Thursday. Mostly sunny, highs upper 60s. Looks good for the game as well. Thursday night should be dry with temperatures falling to the 60s. And then for Friday, we'll go partly sunny, but scattered showers around and cooler. Your high will be around 60. I'm Elliott Casey, Storm Tracker Chief Meteorologist Bill Mack, with your three-day forecast on News Talk 590 WVLK.
It's 62 degrees and mostly cloudy at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Get downtown and join the crowd for the 20th season of Central Bank Thursday Night Live every Thursday through October 22nd at Fifth Third Bank Pavilion at Cheapside Park. Enjoy food from local restaurants, beer, wine, soda, and more. Enjoy and dance to great live music from Lexington's best bands. There's no admission charge, but you can't afford to miss out on all the fun. Bring the whole family. Make it a tradition. Central Bank Thursday Night Live. For more information and to see this year's lineup of great local bands, log on to DowntownLex.com. Downtown is the place to be every Thursday through October 22nd at Fifth Third Bank Pavilion at Cheapside Park. This downtown update from Platinum Jewelers.
Hello, this is Casey McKinley, owner of Platinum Jewelers on the corner of Harrodsburg Road and Lane Allen. Come in and mention Central Bank Thursday Night Live and receive 25% off any item in the store. Visit us at PlatinumCustomJewelers.com. Honest, reliable, Kentucky homegrown.
Celebrating 20 great years, Central Bank Thursday Night Live from Cumulus Broadcasting and the Downtown Lexington Corporation.
Earning your degree from Arizona State University is a great way to plan for your future, redefine your career, and get noticed by employers. How do we know? The Wall Street Journal recognized ASU for producing some of the best qualified graduates, making it an employer favorite across the country. In fact, almost 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Arizona State University offers more than 100 of our world-class degrees completely online. You receive the exact same curriculum, earn the same degree, and interact with the same prestigious faculty as our on-campus students, from wherever you want, whenever you want. For information, call 1-800-400-6017. Join ASU Online and discover for yourself why U.S. News & World Report named ASU number one in the nation for innovation, ahead of both MIT and Stanford. Learn to thrive, discover your potential, and earn a degree that employers notice at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU degrees online, call 1-800-400-6017. That's 1-800-400-6017.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're debt relief advocates, and we're offering you free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-400-8642. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. Debt Relief Advocates. Live better debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call Debt Relief Advocates now and see how much money you could save for free. Call 1-800-400-8642. That's 1-800-400-8642.
Now back to the calls on Larry Glover Live on Sports Central 590 WVLK.
Well, the Chicago Cubs are adding insurance, trying to anyway. Runner third and one away. They lead St. Louis by two right now, 6-4 your score. Two bitter rivals playing in the playoffs for the first time ever. And Chicago trying to advance to the NLCS. And I'll tell you what, they're playing as well as anybody. 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590. Also via email at LarryGloverLive@gmail.com. Tonight's program brought to you by our friends at Jack Kane Ford. We welcome to the program Allie Davison from Auburn Rivals. Allie, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Awesome. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Always a pleasure. You know, Kentucky hasn't played Thursday nights very often. They've never hosted a Thursday night game. I suspect that the atmosphere will be carnival-like. It should be a fantastic environment. I'm not sure if you need to come up or not, but it should be an incredible, incredible environment around the stadium on Thursday night. I think it's going to be tons of fun.
Yeah, you know, Auburn played in a Thursday night game last year against K-State, and the best way to describe it was it got weird. It, you know, the Thursday night games, you never really know what to expect with the short amount of time to prepare for both teams. And the atmosphere at night is always crazy. And actually, our publisher, Jay Tate, is from Lexington and went to Kentucky. And he told me all about the Tomb and how crazy it is up there. So I'm sure Auburn fans, you know, are really excited to head up there. And I know Kentucky fans are getting pumped to host a team like Auburn.
We haven't heard it called the Tomb in a while. That was back when Hal Mumme was here. It's kind of a little flashback. Allie, when you look at Auburn this year, I mean, there was a lot of expectations. And, of course, Gus Malzahn working magic up there replacing Chizik. But this season has clearly not gone the way they had hoped and the way they anticipated. What's been the issues with Auburn this season?
You know, it's really hard for us to pinpoint what exactly happened. You know, all of the hype and expectations that Auburn had heading into the season, not just from, you know, the local Auburn beat writers, but from national writers, you know, across the country. Almost everyone had Auburn heading into the Final Four this season. And after the first three games, it was pretty evident that that wasn't going to happen. And I think it probably starts with, you know, the quarterback position. You know, Jeremy Johnson was expected to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year, and that wasn't the case. And, you know, you can't make excuses for him. All you can do is try to move forward. And right now, Sean White's the guy that tried to do it for the Tigers. But I think that position, you know, with all the hype around Jeremy, it kind of fizzled and it kind of crumbled before our eyes. And no one really knows what happened. But I think with that position kind of, you know, always being the center, you know, centerpiece for a team like Auburn, having that kind of ravel and kind of crumble to where you had to have a, you know, a freshman start that's never started a collegiate game before, you know, Mississippi State is hard. So that's probably, if I had to pick one position that kind of, you know, set the tone for the season, it probably would be that one.
Allie, is it fair to say, though, that if the quarterback position's not clicking, if it's not, or if it, you know, if you got a guy that doesn't live up to what they need, that sort of all comes undone? I mean, is that too simplified to say that about Auburn's offense under Malzahn?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the last few seasons, you know, when Gus was here, it was Cam Newton, and that's a dual threat guy, and that's what Cam Newton is. He's one of the best to ever do it. And then when Gus came back in his first year, he had Duke transfer Nick Marshall, and that's another dual threat guy. You know, not the most refined passer, but he got it done in the air when he needed to, but he got it done on his feet too. And Jeremy Johnson is not a dual-threat quarterback, and he never was. And that was, you know, kind of the one underlining question that a lot of people had that was answered with, you know, Jeremy can run. You know, if he needs to get it done, he will, but our main focus is going to get it done through the air. And, you know, in the first game against Louisville, throwing picks, the next game throwing more picks, the next game throwing more picks. And after a while, the turnovers start to affect the team entirely, having the defense out there as long as it did, and the defensive line is not one of the strongest points for Auburn's team either. So, I mean, those guys out there, you know, so long, playing so hard and playing teams that are, you know, really good in this league, you know, after a while that starts to weigh on a team, and they had to make the change. And I think, you know, Sean White's not a dual threat quarterback either, but we've seen, you know, some really good flashes that Sean's willing to take the hit, you know, to try to get that first down, and that's some passion and some aggression that you need at that position that we really didn't see with Jeremy, you know, in the first three games.
How much different is Auburn's offense from other teams when you don't have that dual threat?
It takes away an entire dynamic. The defense is not preparing for a second guy to run the ball. They're only preparing for the running back or the halfback. And, you know, in this offense, you know, with Nick Marshall and Cam Newton, Malzahn could trick the defense and could, you know, run some trick plays, could really, you know, open the playbook. And it's been very vanilla from the Auburn team so far this year and from Gus Malzahn. And that's, you know, something else that we've been really questioning is if this Kentucky game is the time where he's going to try to, you know, throw the toilet against the wall and, you know, see what sticks. Because right now they could basically run anything and it, you know, to hope it works. So I think, you know, with Sean White, you know, he has shown flashes, and it'll be really interesting to see how much they utilize him, because in the last game against San Jose State, he only had 10 passes. So he's not experienced in the air. And so if the wrong game gets stopped by Kentucky's defense, you know, the front four, Sean's going to have to be forced to throw. And so if he prepared enough to do that on the road, it'll be really interesting.
We're talking with Allie Davison of Auburn Rivals. And, Allie, a lot was made of Will Muschamp coming down to the Plains and taking over the D.C. job at Auburn. A lot of expectations. How has that worked out? What kind of grades are people giving Will Muschamp's defense this year?
Yeah, you know, I think Muschamp obviously coming to Auburn is a huge success for the program itself. You know, he's been here before, and he was a success at Auburn. You know, obviously his last season at Florida didn't end how it was supposed to, but his defense, you know, even in that last year, was outstanding. And that's what he's good at. He's good at defense. He was good at defense at Texas. He was good at defense at Auburn. He was good at defense at Florida. And so what people need to remember is, you know, he came in 2 months before signing day. And, yes, of course, he landed, you know, former number one rivals player Byron Coward and guys like Jeff Holland, who was a four-star, that were headed to Florida until he made the switch. But he didn't really – he wasn't really able to recruit guys that fit his scheme, fit his style of coaching, you know, fit his style of play. And he inherited a team that, you know, struggled last season and even struggled in the 2013 season when they went to the national championship. And I think with all the hype around Jeremy Johnson, you know, it kind of overshadowed the struggles that this team was going to have. And then as soon as they lost Carl Lawson for the second season basically in a row, because we're not quite sure if he's going to be able to see the field again this season, once you lose a guy like that and, you know, they've invested so much time and there's not much depth behind him, that's really going to deflate your defense. And Muschamp has come out and said, you know, we're not good. You know, we've let almost every team run for over 500 yards, and that's not good, and that's not going to cut it. And it's really nice to hear, you know, a coach come out and say that he acknowledges the fact that they're not good, but that's not going to stop him from trying to force his players, you know, to get right. And I think this is kind of the awakening game for Byron Coward. You know, this is Carl Lawson's freshman year. He struggled the first four games, and it was about halfway through the season when the lights kind of turned on, and he became one of the best, not only freshmen in the country, but best defensive linemen. And this is right around the time for Byron Coward. So a Thursday night game when there's really nothing to lose for this Auburn team going up, you know, against the Kentucky at home, you could really see him, you know, play lights out, which is what we all expect, you know, throughout the high school recruiting process for him.
Allie, Kentucky obviously not a traditional power in football, but what's the perception of Kentucky right now, this program under Mark Stoops?
It's on the rise, and that sounds so cliche and so simplified, but it's on the rise. And, you know, Auburn in the SEC West Division, you know, is always looked at compared to, you know, programs like FSU or LSU and Alabama, and, you know, it's difficult for them. They're never really on top, but they're always been an elite SEC West team. But then you look at the SEC East, and it's kind of a wide-open playing field right now, and there's this Kentucky sitting there waiting for that program kind of win. And even though Auburn's on a down season from everyone I've talked to, you know, if Kentucky were to win this game on Thursday night, that would be a huge win for this program. And that's not something to be taken lightly. And I think Auburn fans are now starting to realize, if you were to ask Auburn fans, you know, in the preseason what this game would be like, I'm sure they would have said, oh, it's going to be difficult. Thursday night games are always, you know, unpredictable. But I think we'll be able to handle them. But as the season goes on and you know, start to see how Auburn's playing and the struggles they have, I think now Auburn fans are starting to realize, you know, Kentucky can put up a game on the road Thursday night. It's not going to be an easy task. So, you know, obviously Kentucky known for their basketball, and Bruce Pearl's now trying to challenge them in basketball. So it'll be a really cool rivalry to see, you know, if Kentucky can really put up a game like I fully expect them to do this Thursday and kind of, you know, make a name for themselves in the SEC.
What's interesting is Florida, who's really getting it going, but, you know, their closest game so far was they won 14-9 at Kentucky. And a couple of things. One, it makes you wonder, you know, about, you know, kind of how Kentucky kind of compares, because the one really good team they've played so far, they gave them all that they wanted. But I think more to the point, we wonder around here, is like if Kentucky had beaten Florida, if they could have found a way to punch one in late when they had chances, how much different the East would look. Kentucky would actually have basically a two-game lead on Florida and a two-game lead on – or three-game lead, I guess two-game lead on Missouri. It's amazing how much different it would be had Kentucky been able to score late, which, you know, they had a shot there in the end and couldn't get it done. It'd be kind of interesting. What if Kentucky had gotten one in against Florida and gotten that win, how much different the East would look?
Yeah, and, you know, look at Tennessee. I mean, you know, if they were able to keep their 14-plus points lead on SEC East, they're ahead of the game by a mile. So it's very, you know, these late games, and in this kind of league, in this kind of conference, it matters of what you do in those last 2 minutes against a close game. And unfortunately for, you know, programs like Auburn, they have yet to convert in the red zone this entire season. That's definitely been a very sore point for this program. And just like you said, against Kentucky against Florida, they can punch one in late. They're beating a Florida team who absolutely dismantled Ole Miss, but and that team absolutely dismantled Alabama. So it's very, you know, this conference, everyone can say that there's, you know, top programs. Of course, that's true in bottom programs, but on any given day, you know, someone can rise to the top that you don't expect. So both of these teams, you know, really, you know, be on their toes and be ready for anything because, like you said, on Thursday night, really anything can happen.
Allie, looking at the Kentucky offense and matching up against Auburn's defense, from Auburn's perspective, what concerns them about Kentucky's offense? Is it the passing attack, or is it Boone Williams? Or what is it about Kentucky's offense that you think could be a real challenge for Auburn?
Yeah, from what I you know, I haven't watched too much game on Kentucky's quarterback, but I do know that he's a dual threat guy. And whenever, you know, that kind of presence is known in the pocket, you don't know whether he's going to pass. You don't know whether he's going to, you know, scramble for the first down. And that's something that Auburn's defense with, you know, the depth that they have and the challenges that they've had so far, allowing so many yards, that's something that's obviously going to be, you know, probably the most difficult challenge. However, you look at the Mississippi State game, they held Dak Prescott, who's probably one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks in the country, and they held him to under 50 yards on the ground, and that's incredibly impressive. But when you look at that, he also had almost 200 yards in the air. So it's kind of give or take, and, you know, they must have said they really focus on trying to keep him, you know, under 100 yards on the ground, which they accomplished. But then you look at the secondary that allowed almost 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. So it's kind of give or take. I think Muschamp is just, I think they're hesitant for everything, but I think they're going to come into the game with their ears pinned back. And I think you're going to see a lot of really, you know, really early blitz packages, you know, kind of get some momentum going because they really can't afford to get down on the road with the struggles they've had, you know, at halftime.
Allie, if you look at Kentucky, historically speaking, I think a lot of teams have that same issue when you deal with an offense like Auburn that's got a quarterback that can really make it go, able to beat you with his feet and his arm. Auburn's struggling with that this year. That's probably news to Kentucky's ears because if you can make Auburn one-dimensional, I think it makes the job for Kentucky to defend Auburn so much easier. Not that it's going to be easy, mind you, but the fact that maybe they can look at defending the pass maybe more than the run. Anytime you can make someone one-dimensional or that they are somewhat one-dimensional, it makes the job a little easier.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of been, you know, the MO so far this season, which is why, you know, as much as we thought Jeremy Johnson was going to be this phenomenal quarterback, there was always, you know, questions in the back of everyone's mind that, you know, he's not Nick Marshall. He's not Cam Newton. He's not going to get it done on his feet from what we had seen in high school and, you know, from what kind of quarterback he is. And, you know, it is one-dimensional right now. And with the play calling that they've, you know, had so far, it is completely one-dimensional. And after a while, defenses will start to pick up. However, the one bright spot, you know, if you're going to pick one position on Auburn's team, it is running back. They have three phenomenal running backs. But that's been a struggle, too, is trying to rotate all three guys. You have Peyton Barber, who's a guy that's kind of been waiting in the curtains, waiting for his turn behind guys like Trey Mason and Cameron Artis Payne, who are now two NFL running backs. He's a junior, and he's just a third-down grinder. You know, you put him in the end zone in under 10 yards, he's going to find it. And then you have Rock Thomas, who's a former five-star high school prospect, and he's, you know, if he gets in the open field, it's going to be very difficult to catch him. And he's just very athletic and very, you know, very has a lot of swagger when he hits the ball, but his, you know, downfall has been he hasn't been able to hold on to it in big moments. And then you have Kerryon Johnson, who probably has the best hands, in my opinion, more than any other wide receiver on Auburn's team. He's incredible in the slot, and that kind of brings another dynamic if you can get him out, you know, in open space and then be able to catch it. But they haven't really found a groove in how to incorporate all three guys. So, yeah, that might be their most depth that they have on the position, but they still haven't found that momentum. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they incorporate Sean White's pass attack as well as these three, you know, really, really good running backs on this team.
Allie, before the season started, we all expected Auburn to have just a machine offensively. Everyone thought Kentucky's offense would be high-powered as well. I mean, I said at the beginning of the year that Kentucky might have to win this thing 52-50. I don't think it'll be that high-scoring now because neither team is showing that kind of firepower. But do you expect a high-scoring game? by 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have to agree with that because that, well, from what I've seen outside the Florida game, neither defense is, you know, an SEC juggernaut right now. So I think it's going to end up being a shootout. I don't think it's going to be quite in the 50s, but I think they'll probably see one team head up, you know, in the late 30s or early 30s, late 30s. So I think you'll see one of the either quarterbacks have to get it done in the air because I think both defenses are going to focus really big on the run. So one of these quarterbacks, one of the very young quarterbacks, is going to have to step up, and I think that's going to be the deciding factor on Thursday.
Allie, appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
All right, that's Allie Davidson. You can read her work at Auburn Rivals. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
Sports in Fayette Mall is locally owned and proud of it since 1972, carrying more of the genuine Big Blue apparel, shorts, tees, jerseys, and hats UK fans want most. Check us out at AllSportsLEX.com. AllSportsLEX.com. All Sports in Fayette Mall.
We don't cater to the common. We don't run on a beaten path. And proudly unconventional since 1926, our history is inspiration for the future. For those that share our independent pioneering spirit and are discontent with the common can, we raise an Ale 8, the drink for those who find their own flavor. Prove how great different can be. Open one yourself.
Mommy, why are we going to the store?
Mom, I want juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. That's right, the car seat. A car seat isn't one size fits all. You have to have the right seat based on your child's age, weight, and height. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. But there's a website that gives you all the information you need. safercar.gov/the right seat. You'll find out about types of seats, when to have a seat rear-facing, when to switch it to forward-facing, when it's time for a booster seat, and when it's time for your child to ride in the back seat with a seatbelt. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat. That's safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Listening to this radio spot, you could have completed and submitted an entire expense report with a simple picture of your receipt. That's all it takes for you to get back to work and for your business to run more efficiently. To learn more and discover all the ways Concur helps manage your company's expenses, just go to tryconcur.com for a free test drive.
Hey everyone, Proactive has a special offer for our listeners. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. They're letting everyone try Proactive 100% risk-free. For $19.95, you'll get prescription-grade Proactive plus a rotating deep cleansing brush valued at $45, totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-644-2706. 800-644-2406.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This week, join Ancestry's Follow the Leaf Challenge. Think you know your family's story? Today, we're challenging you to visit tryancestry.com and follow the hints from our family tree leaf. Simply type in a name, and our leaf takes you on a journey into your past. Everyone that goes to tryancestry.com gets 14 days free. We challenge you to find a new story or photo to preserve for your family. What will you discover with 14 days free? It's only at tryancestry.com. Tryancestry.com.
This is Sports Central 590 WVLK. Now back to Larry Glover Live.
Welcome back to our program here on Larry Glover Live. The Cubs have finished off St. Louis 6-4, and they win the series 3-1. They move on to the NLCS, opposite of either L.A. or New York. Let's go to Al real quick. Al, welcome.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, Steve Spurrier, we won't have to beat him 3 years in a row. And I think that if Don Mattingly, in your opinion, you might want to comment on as far as tomorrow, if he don't win this series, because this is his last year with the Dodgers.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know that if they don't win, it guarantees that he doesn't come back. I will say this, though. Clayton Kershaw is getting a reputation for being Peyton Manning of baseball. Great during the regular season, can't get it done in postseason play.
Yeah, no, that's the tag they put on him. Auburn will be beat by Kentucky 24-20. They have been relevant over the last 24 months, dating back to the Chris Davis run against Alabama in the Iron Bowl. But this has been a tough year for them a little bit. And this could be a year where Kentucky beat Auburn and Stoops could get his another signature win. And that'll bring in other excellent recruits to the program.
All right, Al, I appreciate it. We're out of time. Thank you much. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody. Thanks to Allie and Jeff. Thanks to Zach Meadows, who produced tonight's program. We'll see you tomorrow night beginning at 6 on the next edition of Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.
Thinking about switching to solar? Don't wait much longer or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Move quickly because the tide is turning. Solar power is becoming a threat to big energy profits. In fact, some power companies are even pushing for extra fees to make up for lost revenue. Warning, you must have your solar system up and running by midnight December 31st or you'll miss out on this year's federal tax credit. Energy prices are expected to increase by as much as 40% in the near future. Go solar now with no down payment, interest, or payments for a whole year. You can afford it because we finance. Get your government money and save big every month. Big Energy is getting nervous and the door of opportunity is about to slam shut. Paying $150 a month or more on energy bills? Then call 1-800-MY-SOLAR now for a free in-home assessment. 1-800-MY-SOLAR.
My home, my savings.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News Talk 590.
Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader. Depend on it.
WBLK, Lexington.
A Cumulus station. It's 8 o'clock.